Welcome to Longevity. I'm your host, Natalie Nittam. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology and ancestral health practices to personalized interventions and a very special interest of mine, peptides and bioregulators. Enjoy the show. Welcome back. I'm Natalie Nittam, your host. Now, you may know Melissa Urban as the woman who built a global movement around food. Ever heard of the Whole 30? But what surprised her the most in her entire journey? Well, it's that sleep might be the real foundation of everything. In this episode, we unpack how poor sleep hijacks your cravings, impacts insulin sensitivity, and chips away at your long-term health in ways that you just don't feel until it's too late. And many of us have experienced this. Melissa shares her own wake-up calls from burnout to disrupted sleep cycles and the practical no BS habits that actually move the needle. She also shares about a technological little tech hack that she discovered along the way that has made all the difference in her sleep. There's these fascinating little earbuds, noise canceling earbuds from a company called Oslo. Now, if you've been optimizing everything except your sleep, this conversation might just change your priorities fast. And if you decide you're feeling inspired and you want to get your hands on these sleep buds for yourself, you can go to oslosleep.com/Nat and use code Nat to save $75 off. Now, next, I'll be thanking two sponsors and then we dive in. Hey, folks, there's a new skincare product I need to tell you about. Clinically, this formula reversed up to 8 years of visible aging in just 42 days. It's called Vampire Exosome from Young Goose. Each bottle contains 3 trillion PRP-derived exosomes, which is about 3 times more than most serums on the market. And we all know that exosomes are cellular messengers. They are the same signals that make PRP and in-office regenerative treatments so powerful. They instruct your skin how to repair, renew, and produce more collagen. What makes this formula even more advanced is that it also includes Rejuve NAD, designed to support NAD plus levels in the skin. NAD plus is something we talk about all the time in longevity because of its role in cellular energy and DNA repair. Now, in simple terms, this isn't about temporary glow. It's about restoring your skin's ability to renew itself. So results build week after week instead of fading overnight. So if you've been curious about exosome skincare, this is a product setting a new standard. You can find it at younggoose.com. And whether you are a new customer or an existing customer, you get to use code NAT10 for 10% off. At some point, we've all been sold a bit of a protein lie. Let's say you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast. You're consuming about 50 grams of protein, right? Not so fast. Just because something contains 50 grams of protein doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get to use all 50 grams. The fact is that if protein isn't fully digested, some of it may pass through the digestive system unused. Now, this is because your small intestine can only absorb protein that's been broken down into smaller building blocks called amino acids. So it doesn't matter if you're consuming 50 grams of protein or 500 grams of protein. If your protein digestion is incomplete, your muscles will be starving for those vital building blocks. Now, this is why it's crucial you take a high quality digestive enzyme. And before you run out and buy a random bottle of enzymes, you need to know exactly what to look for. Many enzyme formulas provide limited protease activity, especially for people consuming higher protein diets. The hefty costs stop most companies from developing and stabilizing proteolytic enzymes. The one that I trust, recommend, use myself, and love is called Masszymes by Bioptimizers. Masszymes is a full-spectrum enzyme formula with 4 times more protease than most top competitors. Plus, it contains other key enzymes you need to support optimal digestion. And the bonus, you can try it risk-free. Their 365-day full money-back guarantee is the gold standard in the industry. You get to save 15% off at bioptimizers.com/bionat with code BIONAT. Melissa Urban, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to finally meet you. You're like a legend.
Oh, that's so kind of you, Natalie. I'm really enjoying talking to you already.
I know. And guys, it's been like 5 minutes and we're like, we got to hit the record button because we're going to run out of time. I feel so blessed to do what I do. It's just, I get to talk to the coolest people on the planet. It's really fun. Well, and you know, we're tackling a different topic for you today. Yeah. You know, you're known, you are the guru of the Whole 30 of helping people to make food better in a very accessible, simple way, which I think, I mean, talk about a superpower, right? Mm-hmm. But I actually think the first thing we should start with is this transition, and not even a transition, but you coming around to this place of, yeah, diet, but man, sleep. And do you think it's because of your stage in life? Like what kind of took you there?
That's a great question. You know, my first book is called It Starts With Food. And I really do believe in many instances that food is foundational for health, mental health, physical health. The way we show up in our relationship with food is the way we show up with other healthy habits. And I feel like when we are at peace with food and eating food that we know makes us feel good or that feels right for us in that moment, that has benefits that spills over into every single area of your life. Mm-hmm. And also, I will never be the one to tell you that all you need to do is change your diet or that diet is a cure-all or a fix-all. There are so many other factors that impact long-term health. And as I was starting to, of course, expand beyond those factors, beyond just nutrition, sleep is the one that came up more and more for me. And also in the literature, even what I'm reading today, the yeah. impact that sleep or chronic lack of sleep has on big picture health, longevity, and quality of life cannot be underestimated. And in many cases, it's even more important than diet. So yeah. it's an area that I talk about often because, of course, they're all interconnected. The way you 100%. Sleep impacts your dietary habits.
Well, and I think sleep physiologically impacts the impact of food on your, like, you know, there are stats out there that show one bad night of sleep has a negative impact on your insulin sensitivity the next day. You essentially become insulin resistant from poor sleep. So, and your cravings go up.
Yes.
And you're for what? Oh, for carbs. Because why? Because your brain, the energy pig, is like, I need energy and I need it now. And I know I can get it from those jelly beans right there.
Exactly. Yes. Even one or two nights of sleep deprivation. And we're talking about typically like under 6 hours of sleep yeah. mm-hmm. has an impact on blood sugar regulation, as you just mentioned. And then of course, if these results continue to pile up, it just our risk for lifestyle related diseases and conditions go up. I mean, there's not a single body system that chronic lack of sleep does not have a negative impact on.
Yeah. And you just mentioned, I mean, these are non-negotiables, right? It's energy, it's mood, it's metabolism. Long-term brain health,
yeah.
right? Like, I mean, the ability for the brain to clear, take out the trash at night is
yes.
essentially sitting on your quality of sleep. So what's the invisible cost of, I'll catch up on sleep later, that people only feel sometimes like decades down the line, because we get away with it when we're kids, right? When we're,
yeah.
I used to say all the time, I don't need to sleep. I'm fine. I hate sleep. I was the little kid that snuck around the house behind my grandmother when I was supposed to be napping.
Yeah.
I have a lifetime of avoiding sleep, which I've gotten over, thank God.
Yes, yes. You know, I think obviously through various stages of life, your need for sleep and your ability to sleep are seriously impacted, right? I had a baby 13 years ago, and now I know why sleep deprivation is used as a means of torture.
Yeah.
Because it is literally torturous to be woken yeah. up that many times and have that many kind of short sleep sessions. But over the course of time, you know, I think it's kind of like a credit card. You can charge mm-hmm. and charge and charge and you don't really notice it, but then eventually the bill comes due and it all seems to fall apart very quickly. And there typically are signs that you may not be aware of. It's the prowling through the pantry, especially at night. It's the not waking up early enough to go to the gym or do your healthy movement. And then that has a negative impact on your physical health, your mental health through the rest of the day. It's irritability, it's resilience, it's mm-hmm. willpower. So all of those things do start to cascade. And then, of course, long-term, that can lead to these really serious health complications that are happening under the hood that you may not be aware of until you go to your doctor 5 years later and do a fasting blood glucose and realize, oh my gosh, I'm pre-diabetic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's huge. I mean, the link between quality sleep and longevity is inextricable.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating how much we fight it. You know, I think like it's... Anyway, let's take us to the moment when you realized that your sleep wasn't just a little off. Like, I think you talk about how it might have been impacting relationships. You talked about choices, like ability to tolerate the load of your day kind of thing, like bandwidth.
Yeah, huge. Yes. You know, I've had several periods of my life in which my sleep for a period of time was seriously disrupted, aside from having a baby, which is just a, you know, the sort
that's,
of peak.
That's a rite of passage.
It is. Yeah. But, you know, I was on book tour almost every single year for the better part of a decade, where you would fly to one city, you'd do these events, they would finish late at night, you'd be super amped up. I either wouldn't have dinner, or I would have to eat dinner really late after the event. So of course I'm not going to bed on time. And then I'm not sleeping as well, because for me and for most people, eating late is one of the biggest negative impacts on sleep. And then I'd have a super early, you know, morning flight. And so it affects everything from cognition to mood. And for me, it's cravings. I don't typically have cravings. And if my sleep is disrupted, the first thing I notice is all of a sudden I am just a cookie monster. I can't get my hands on sugar fast enough. And so for me, that's one of the earliest kind of signs. Now I'm in menopause, and that's just a whole different ballgame in terms of sleep disruptions and challenges and the things that are disrupting my sleep and the strategies that I have to take to try to combat them. It's different than it was when I was in my mid-30s. I suffered a concussion about 8 years ago, and that's it's a traumatic brain injury, and your brain is not able to access and utilize fuel effectively. Yeah. And so that not only had a huge negative impact on my sleep, but it compounded all of the additional stressors that come when you are chronically underslept. So I've had plenty of these experiences where I've seen firsthand for myself the negative impact of chronic lack of sleep.
Yeah. Those are all like really big events, right?
I mean,
if you have a baby, there's a point where you kind of have to surrender to the process, do the best you can. For the love of all that is holy, nap when your child naps. The laundry will get done. The kitchen will get clean somehow.
Yes.
That's the best advice we can give to new parents, right?
So much so, yes. And also I had to learn not to practice revenge procrastination when my kid got older, right? Your entire evening routine is focused on getting this child to bed. And there were years where the routine was just exhausting. And I would get done and I would think, this is the only time I have to myself.
Yeah.
So I would want to stay up and watch Netflix and scroll on my phone and do these mindless things because I'm exhausted. But I just
need
feel
something
like
for you.
Yes. Yeah. And then I get to bed late and then I wake up cranky and like the cycle just perpetuates. So I had to learn to break that habit or desire as well.
That's a really good shout, because that really happens. I remember catching myself watching a show while reading and scrolling and maybe doing something else at the same time, trying to cram it all in, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you've written that sleep buds saved your marriage. What was the real problem under the drama? Was it noise, resentment, hypervigilance, all the above?
Yes. So, okay. One of the reasons I married my husband is because he doesn't snore. He's never snored. God love him. And I don't either. So, according to him and according to all my wearables, he doesn't snore.
Okay.
But he had a respiratory infection that just took forever to clear. Mm. It was a really nasty one. And he started snoring as a result. At the same time, my dog, who's a poodle, who's 6 years old, also started snoring. And his snoring and my husband's snoring were just competing with each other. And I tried...
Oh my God.
Everything. I had white noise machines. I tried those silicone earplugs. We tried nasal strips for my husband. We got a humidifier. There's nothing I have not tried in order to sort of block that noise out to get a good night's sleep. And it got to the point where I was waking up in a huff at 2 a.m. twice a week to go downstairs to the guest room. And I would be so mad at him. And it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Right. Like he would wake up and he'd be like, did you have to go downstairs again? And I'm like, yes.
And they feel so bad.
Yes, of course he does, but he can't help it.
Yeah.
So I came across an ad for these sleep buds, and I had already ordered fancy earbuds from Sweden, I think it was, with this ergonomic design. They didn't do anything. So I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to try it. They have a money back guarantee. That first night, I got the best night's sleep of my life. And I woke up a new person. My husband was like, did I snore last night? I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell you. Maybe. Don't care. And so I bought these with my own money. I had no connection to the company. I wrote a huge article about it in my newsletter. I was like, these things are lifesavers. They're easy to use. I get the white noise just directly into my brain. It's the same pink noise that I was used to falling asleep with. So there was no kind of getting used to period. And I've recommended them now for probably, I've been using them for 8 or 9 months. they block out New Year's Eve fireworks. They block out dogs barking. I bring them on trips for busy New York City hotels. I mean, these things are, they're magical. I will never stop talking about them because of the incredible impact they've had on me and the people I've recommended them to.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We're going to get deeper into these earbuds in a minute because it's an interesting thing that you said. Like, it's not just the blocking of the noise.
No.
Right? Like, it's not, because I, truthfully, I have silicone earbuds that will block out noise, but they don't, the results are different. And yeah, there's, it's because of the way these things work that I think that it's doing a bigger job. Because what I think we don't realize is it's not that the noise is noise. It's that the noise keeps our nervous system alert.
Yes.
Right? So it keeps us vigilant.
Yes, yes, very much so. And it's, you know, you could fall asleep to an audiobook or you could fall asleep to a podcast if you wanted to, but that's never worked well for me. The change in volume and tone and expression, it's just too stimulating. But these noises that get beamed into my brain are set to a very specific frequency and they're calming frequencies. Some frequencies are energizing. Blue noise, that's when you want to work, you want to get excited, you want to get amped up. But if you want to relax and go to sleep and kind of slip into those alpha waves, you want pink noise, you want brown noise, maybe white noise, and they have all of these different sort of varieties. So not only is it calming for your nervous system from that kind of energetic actual frequency perspective, but what I've also discovered is that it is Pavlovian. Mm. I put that pink noise into my brain and my brain now knows it's time to sleep. And I'm talking, it happens within 3 minutes. The earbuds go in and my brain is like the cue for this is sleep time. I don't put them in while I read. I don't put them in while I do other things. It's only when I'm ready to go to sleep. And it's, like I said, it just works magically.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because for me, I find if I put them in as I'm getting ready for bed, like in the 10 to 15 minutes, you know, I'm in the bathroom, I'm washing my face, taking off my makeup, whatever. It there seems to be like a really, really, for me, and this is personal, right? Like it's going to be different for every person. But for me, it just seems to prepare me and it's kind of like an on-ramp.
Yeah.
For sleep. Like it's a very, anyway, we're going down the path of the sleep buds faster than I wanted to, but, it is so interesting because I remember when I first heard about them, I was like, no. Yeah. It's just more noise, right? And because I've never been a white noise person or any of that stuff. And yet I've had a really interesting experience. And it's so interesting that you had such a big experience. But let's talk also a little bit about the sleep consistency.
Oh, yeah.
And it's linked to resilience. And this is a big one, immune function.
Yes.
Stress tolerance. I mean, you mentioned being cranky earlier. And even recovery as we age. Like all of these things, like as we're, you know, we talk about longevity. It's about health span. What we need to do is avoid disease. And found at the foundation of that is going to be sleep and food.
Yeah, very much so.
Like 100%.
One of the sleep kind of metrics that I don't think enough people think about or even know about, because I didn't until a few years ago, is sleep consistency, a consistent bedtime and a consistent wake time. Mm-hmm. That is so much more important for your quality of sleep over the long term than many other factors. Sure, you want to avoid eating before bed. You want to avoid screens before bed. You want your bedroom to be cool. All of those tips, right? Those are the ones that you hear all the time because they're effective. They work. But going to bed around the same time every night and waking up. So it's not I wake at different times during the week and the weekend, or it's not I go to bed at 10 p.m. during the week, but I'm up till 2 a.m. on the weekends. I really maintain my window per my wearables is about 30 minutes. I go to sleep and wake up, and everything I've read has said that that has an enormous impact. And that's like one of the first things you could do if you're looking to improve the quality of your sleep is start to experience that very consistent sleep and wake cycle.
Yeah. Well, and it's getting away from the sleeping in on the weekend, staying up extra late. And I mean, good luck to either of us convincing a teenager or somebody in their 20s. It's not going to happen.
Fair.
We're, you know, I guess it's part of our natural aging process or something. Yes. But definitely as you get older, that you experience it,
yeah,
right? You start to feel the difference. And does it mean we never go out and stay out? Look, there's an exception to every rule. But if you're pretty consistent 90 to 95% of the time, I think to your point, you're physiologically going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
So what do you think? So here's an interesting one. When we're talking about chronic light sleep, so these are people who have their eyes closed, they're technically sleeping, but they're kind of skimming the surface, right? So what do you think is the most underrated aging consequence of that? Like, is it metabolic drift, emotional reactivity, or do you think it's cognitive wear and tear maybe?
I mean, I think it obviously affects
tick.
I think it's everything, right? We know that it has a serious impact on everything. And that's the kind of sleep you see with people who use sleep aids very often, right? Whether it's prescription or over the counter is, yes, they're in bed with their eyes closed, but their sleep quality, that deep sleep and that REM sleep that's so important, we're not getting that. And so, of course, I think in the short term, it's cognitive function. You're hearing a lot about brain fog. I just feel like I have brain fog or I don't have the capacity to focus. It's irritability.
Yeah.
It is, you know, resilience, obviously willpower, and that leads to, of course, changes in dietary habits or exercise habits or the way you talk to your boss or your teammates at work. So you're feeling the impact of that light sleep pretty quickly. Yeah. But as with any other sleep dysfunction, over time, that lack of REM and deep sleep, which is where the brain and the body do a lot of cleanup, that's going to be felt. You're going to miss that really important cycle.
Yeah, I love that you just said that. I think that very often people mistake sleep as a shutdown time.
Oh, no.
When actually it's probably the most active that your body is. And maybe you want to dive into that a little bit because that's where the whole longevity piece comes in. That's, you're not building muscle in the gym. You're building muscle while you're sleeping. Like,
yes.
This whole concept.
It's recovery. This is where your brain kind of goes through and kind of caches memories and sort of helps you to, I guess, clean out some of the, I don't know the technical terms
for it. Well, the lymphatic system becomes active, right?
The lymphatic system. Yeah. Yep. There's obviously a huge amount of digestion that's happening overnight. Mm-hmm. So you want to allow, you know, your body the space and the time to that, to kind of get to that rest and digest system. There's just a lot happening underneath the hood. And
the repair crews are out.
Yes, like correct.
I think you have I think the way to look at it is the nighttime crews. As a matter of fact, if we look at traditional Chinese medicine, they have a clock and they associate different times of night with different organs. Yeah. And so I can't remember if it's 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. If somebody's waking up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., I forget exactly what time it is, that's associated with liver. And they'll say this is when the liver is doing its work of rejuvenation and cleaning out, like a little bit about what you're talking about. What we don't want is to have a bunch of food in the stomach that we have to digest because that maintenance work doesn't get done.
Yes.
And so anyway, so I just think it's really, and it's interesting when you look at some of these older systems, like whether it's traditional Chinese or Ayurvedic, and they speak to these things a lot more than we typically. I mean, I think we're getting there, but these guys have known about this stuff for a really long time.
You know, they have. It's just, it's a hard message to sell. People are somewhat resistant to it. I think in large part, just due to capitalism. I mean, when I was starting my business, it was hustle 24/7. I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'm working while you're sleeping. And sleep has sort of been labeled as this lazy activity. And it's almost a moral failure if you're getting 8 hours of sleep a night. And I think that conversation is changing, but I'm not sure it's changing fast enough, or I'm not sure, again, that people are kind of grasping all of the body functions that are happening during that really important time.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I mean, listen, within the community, there'll be people listening to this podcast going, look, you're preaching to the converted. But I think there's still, to your point, a lot of people and people who don't necessarily realize it. And where I'm starting to see it more is in the autoimmune community and giving more respect to sleep for proper immune function. Like if you have an immune dysregulation, and you're not sleeping, you're going, I mean, look, it's not going to, just because you sleep isn't going to fix everything.
Yeah.
But if you're not sleeping, you're not going to be able to, it's going to be a lot harder to rebalance.
Oh, I mean, the amount of chronic stress that you're under with chronic lack of sleep, and that impacts your immune system. It leads to an increase in inflammatory markers, susceptibility to infections. And if you already have a chronically overactive immune system, you're just digging yourself further into the hole.
100%. Yeah. Where do you think also with, I mean, you mentioned menopause and perimenopause earlier. I mean, definitely, I think taking care of the hormones is a piece of the puzzle as well, right?
Yes.
So it
definitely is. I've done a lot of research in this because I am now in that phase. And I haven't had a lot of super negative symptoms, thank goodness, but sleep disruptions have been one of them. And, you know, some of the studies I've read show that not only sleep quality, but also quantity decreases. You're sleeping less and your sleep quality is less. And it can happen through a number of reasons. It's, of course, decreasing estrogen and progesterone, but it's hot flashes. You have an increased risk of sleep apnea. Sometimes it's chronic joint pain, like that frozen shoulder can make sleeping really uncomfortable. You can have an increase in restless leg syndrome, mood changes. So all of these things are kind of compounding and they're impacting you throughout the day, but they're also impacting your sleep.
Yeah. So yeah, and I think what's important to say here is, ladies, if this is you, you owe it to yourself to also meet with a doctor and talk about your hormones and how you can be supported in balancing those. I'm a fan, personal fan of BHRT. May or may not be right for you. There's other ways to, I mean, there may be, I don't know that there's really another way to really give the benefits of bioidentical hormone replacement for protecting the brain and the bones and all the things. But you at the very least need to get the support for the sleep, because if you can't get the sleep together, then everything else is really going to follow.
So true. So
when people tell you or say, you know, I'm sleeping, but I just don't feel refreshed in the morning. Like, what are the first 2 to 3 suspects you think about? Is it environment, timing, like waking up habits? I mean, maybe breathing dysfunction. You talked about your husband a little while ago.
Those are obviously culprits. And if there is a, you know, kind of the first thing I'll say is if you do have a pattern of snoring or waking up feeling like you haven't been breathing, obviously getting evaluated for some sort of sleep disturbance is top of mind. Outside of that, though, I think diet and eating too close to bed has a huge impact. Alcohol cannot be ignored. In the wearable communities that I visit, alcohol is constantly cited via the data as the number one factor for having a negative impact on sleep. So diet, eating too late, eating, you know, a heavy meal too late, snacking right before bed.
Yeah.
Definitely alcohol, certainly environment. Like, there are some small fixes that I'm sure your audience is already familiar with, but making your bedroom colder, opening the door, especially in winter, and letting some fresh air in, blocking out all lights, you know, the light blocking curtains are huge. So there are some small things. Environment is certainly one of those. And then I'll also say your pre-bed habits. I know you said your audience is well-versed in this stuff, and so am I. But every time I hear someone on a podcast say, put your phone away at least an hour before bed, I think to myself, dang it, have I been doing that?
Yes. Well, you know what? You know? Because we know it intellectually, but do we do it?
Of course. And it's hard not to, but not only do you have the impact of blue light right before bed, which is disrupting for sleep, but no good comps from checking Twitter or your email one last time before you go to bed. No good comps from being kind of sucked into an algorithm that you know is designed to outrage you or anger you or incense you and suck you in. So for me, I would talk about what are you doing before bed? What time are you going to bed? I mean, sometimes it's as easy as like, you just got to go to bed earlier. Yeah. And even if you're just reading in bed for that half hour, you don't fall asleep right away. That is still a far more relaxing and calming behavior than whatever it is you're doing, you know, on the couch or with your phone.
100%. And I would say, because people can now read on their phone, they can have their books on their phone, either buy a Kindle or go old school and get a book.
Yeah,
I'm a huge proponent of this, because the temptation on your phone, you're going to get a notification or, you know, that Instagram's right there and you're like, oh, let's go see if anybody liked my post. You know what I mean? Like that little, it's like the little devil over here is there's the, we need a snack. And then there's, we need to check social media.
Mm-hmm.
There's two.
I know. I started bricking my phone at 7:30, maybe 6 months ago or so. We kind of set a family rule, no phones after 7:30 for all of us.
Wow. That's impressive.
And so I put screen time controls on and I blocked shopping and work apps and social media apps and the internet. And the only thing I can access are podcasts and audiobooks and music. Those are things I don't mind listening to at night. And the number of times I would reach for my phone in that first week, I mean, 100 times a night, I would pick it up and go, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I'd pick it up and say, oh, I can't use Amazon right now. It's like, it was shocking to me. And it's a hard habit to break. And it's also really easy just to turn it off.
Yeah.
So I try not to.
It's pretty sexy. I know. Yeah. Listen, my son put an app on my phone. I think it's called something Zen, maybe Zen Screen or something. And he gave me a lot of time per day yeah. for Instagram. And then I chopped it up into 6 10-minute chunks. But yeah. I'd get to the end of the 10 minutes, I'd be in the middle of doing something. I'd be like, no,
I know.
Go back. Anyway, we're digressing right now. But I think the other thing that's really important, just to finish with the phone thing, is that it's also mental stimulation. It yeah. engages your brain. And what we're trying to do is disengage our brain. And I will say, going back to the sleep buds, what I'm really impressed with is the effect on the nervous system.
Yeah.
And that there's no noise blocking plug. Maybe because it's blocking the noise, but there's an interaction with these soundscapes that really absolutely has a different effect. So we're going to get into that in a second. But, you know, if somebody is not sleeping, how is it show? I mean, we've talked about how it shows up, but some of the things like the appetite shifts, maybe you're relying on caffeine too much.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you're more reactive than you used to be. Like, these are the things I think we all need to be looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that there are the signs that we might be like, well, I'm just cranky, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. But it's always going to go back to that sleep. How do we separate hormonal sleep disruption from the lifestyle sleep disruption without spiraling into beating ourselves up?
I know.
Right?
It definitely can be challenging to know, did I have a bad night's sleep because of something I ate? Is it my hormonal changes? Is it that I can't get my brain to turn off? Is it because I was on the phone? I will say one of the things I've personally noticed and that my doctor has talked with me about is estrogen levels are so closely and directly correlated to hot flashes. And mm-hmm. I know because I am on estrogen therapy and it's been a lifesaver. But when my estrogen levels are off, either too high or too low, that's when some of these symptoms start coming up. And I don't have them during other times. So for me, it's kind of like, okay, well, I know this is what's happening right now. I think one of the best things you can do is just some self-experimentation. So if you've got a couple of these factors, you know, I don't know if it was the alcohol I drank or the XYZ, whether it's through a wearable or whether it's just something that you choose to conduct an experiment, spend a week and make sure that all your screens go off an hour before bed and see what happens.
Yeah.
And if that has a huge impact, then it's like, wow, okay, incredible. Then you can start to stack on top of that. If I take magnesium before bed or some other mm-hmm. supplement, does that have an impact? And if it's like, meh, negligible, then you could move on to another factor. So some of this is just going to be self-experimentation and some of it is outside of your control. If yeah. you're, you know, you've got a fire alarm going off in your hotel or the dog's barking or you have a baby, there's not much you can do about that. But for the things that are in your control, I've discovered that experimentation and also really checking my data and being tied into the data that my wearable is giving me every morning has been really telling for the factors that are the most positive and negative for me for sleep.
Yeah. Question for you. Where does resilience actually come from? We talk about mindset, discipline, pushing through, but if your biology isn't backing you up, it's pretty hard to move forward. Now, over the past year, my resilience has definitely been tested in a few different ways. And one thing that became really clear is that energy is everything. If your cells can't produce energy efficiently, everything feels harder, physically, mentally, all of it. And this is why I'm so grateful to have my trusty Timeline gummies powered by MitoPure. MitoPure works by supporting a process called mitophagy, which helps your body clear out old damaged mitochondria and therefore replace them with healthier ones. So instead of just pushing through fatigue, you're actually upgrading the system underneath it. And this is not guesswork. Timeline has spent over 15 years and more than $50 million researching this with multiple human clinical trials behind it. If you're thinking about longevity and building real resilience, this is one of the most foundational places to start. Timeline's clinically proven formula is now available at a new lower price, starting at $99. And you can still get 20% off when you go to timeline.com/nat. You know, ladies, if you're in your even early 40s, check with your doctor and have your hormone levels checked because it can those little shifts in hormones can start really early. And sometimes, you know, maybe a little progesterone is what you need or it just depends, right?
Yeah.
But you're not going to be able to. And those shifts are going to be very hard to counter without the strategy. So what's one thing you wish that every woman knew about sleep in midlife that would save her years of trial and error?
Oh, I mean, my number one tip, and I preach this all the time, is go to bed earlier. And it's not sexy. And I know that you might be missing out on some of the you time that you have at night, but even an extra half hour of sleep brings so much to every other area of your life. And if you can start to get into the habit of going to bed earlier and maybe creating a little bit of a wind down routine, I think that's just, it's the easiest and the most accessible way for you to just eat. Well, even if it's just a little more time in bed, like I said, you're reading a book or you're listening to your white noise, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
I started going to bed toddler early, probably when my kid was five, at least once a week. And now it's like 8 o'clock and my husband and I are starting our wind down routine, and it's the best thing ever.
You know, it can also be the best thing if you have a partner for your intimacy.
Yeah.
You know, like you have a better shot at even wanting intimacy with your partner. And it doesn't even have to be sex. It could be cuddling, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is really good for your sleep and your relationship, but it's actually even really good for intimacy because you're not waiting until you're physically exhausted and stressed about going to bed before you go to bed. So anyway, there'd be that. Now, we've talked about what it feels like, what your cravings feel like when you've had bad sleep, but how does it feel when you've had good sleep? Like things like portion control or snack urges or sweet cravings, decision fatigue. I'd love for people who haven't experienced this to feel like this kind of centeredness around this is not my thing kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, again, a good night's sleep has a positive impact on every single area of your life. You sleep well, I wake up at 6 a.m. without an alarm. I'm energized. I'm ready to go to the gym because healthy movement in the morning for me is something that's really grounding and it's part of my morning routine. I have plenty of time to get to the gym. I have a good workout because I feel rested. I feel energized. I get home. I make a good breakfast. I don't need to prop up my energy with caffeine. I'm not craving sugary things. I feel really centered and grounded. My willpower is strong. My patience is high. So as I'm getting my kid ready to go to school, I feel like I've just got more capacity for that. I head into work feeling clear and focused with steady energy. It just, all of that everything just continues.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no area of your life that would not benefit from you being more well-rested.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're the kind of person who, for all the good reasons we know, has kind of been pushing the envelope for a long time, just do an experiment, you know, give yourself the gift of, okay, for the next 5 days, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
See how you feel. See how it works. It's kind of like giving up a food, right? Like, I mean, as a nutritionist, I used to have these conversations with people. I'm like, look, the sourdough is going to be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be there in a week. I promise you. And don't buy it now because you want a fresh loaf.
Yeah.
Just for 5 days, just to see how you will feel.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, you have these crazy negotiations with people. Finally, they concede. And very often on the other side for this, with sleep or for the bread or the dairy or whatever it was, they're like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Yes.
I can't believe it.
And, you know, coming from the Whole 30 lady, this might make sense, but I will say black and white rules are often easier for the brain to follow when it comes to habit change and behavior change, because there is none of that negotiation. There's none of that. I'm going to go to bed earlier or I'm going to watch less TV. And then immediately your brain's like, well, what's less? Less than last night, less than a weekend. Yeah. Instead, if the rule for that week is I turn off all screens at 8 p.m. and that's the rule you stick by, all of a sudden now you're sort of forced to find other ways to wind down at night or to manage your, I forgot to do this and that. You're journaling it out on pen and paper instead of getting it into an email. So those black and white rules, if you are going to experiment, think about what could I set that offers no negotiation and I know would serve me. And let me just stick to it for a week or 10 days and see what happens.
Yeah, I love it. You know, you basically treat your brain like the toddler that it is, because it will not stop negotiating with you.
Listen, the brain wants relentless. What is easy and what is rewarding. Yeah. And that's just biology. That's human nature. Absolutely.
All right. Let's dive into these sleep buds that we've kind of been dancing around this whole conversation. So a lot of people confuse noise canceling with noise masking.
Yeah.
So how can you explain the difference in a way that's really going to land with people?
Yeah. And a lot of the earbuds that you might find at the gym have both of those settings. A lot of headphones have both noise canceling and noise sort of masking or sort of diluting. And so what you'll find with a noise masking is that some outside noise still comes in, and that can be helpful if you're running or trail running or doing something where you don't necessarily want to hear nothing. Whereas noise canceling really based on the fit of the bud itself and the way it's centered in your ear, does its best just mechanically to block out as much outside noise as possible. And then when you add the noise coming through the headphones, it really does limit your awareness of anything else happening around you. Now, you can somewhat mitigate noise canceling by making the volume in your ear lower, because the physical mechanism of noise blocking isn't 100%. It's not complete. So you do have some control there. But for me at night, because I am relatively aware of sounds and things happening, I really wanted noise canceling sleep buds.
Yeah, 100%. But it's a little bit like if you're making yourself a shake and you start putting all kinds of functional things into it, right? You add in your collagen, you put in the creatine, and you put in the whey protein. Then to me, the noise masking canceling conversation is, what is the noise now that, like, what is the sound that's being delivered? Because I think what we're going to talk about with these sleep buds is I have noise canceling headphones that cancel noise without producing any noise that I can hear. But in this case, there's a very specific, there are soundscapes that are being delivered that are designed very specifically to elicit a response from your nervous system that leads to the better sleep.
Yes.
Right.
And that's really the magic of them. My gym headphones deliver music or audiobooks into my head very nicely, but they are nowhere near comfortable enough to sleep in. They're not designed for that. Sleep earplugs block noise somewhat effectively, but they don't stream any noise. And so ideally, I think you want the best of both worlds. You want that noise canceling effect, and you want to be able to, of course, adjust the sound that's coming in, the volume it's coming in. But again, some of these sounds, as we've talked about, are specifically designed to calm your nervous system and to relax your brain and to help you ease into those alpha and then theta waves. So I think the combination of both is what is really impactful.
It's the magic. And so this brings us to, so Oslo Seabuds, which is what we're talking about, can actually stream audio. So you can listen to an audiobook or a meditation or a breathwork track or whatever it is. But then once you fall asleep, they sense that. And they switch over to the soundscape. So, and to me, that's the magic, right? So let's talk about why that feature is so critical to why these things are so magical.
Yeah, they're so incredibly customizable. And all of this is done in the app. And there's no subscription for the app. It just comes with the buds. But
which is amazing, by the way, right?
Yes.
Most people will expect to have to pay a subscription.
I know. That's where all brands are going, feels like. Yeah. It's very nice. So all myself as an example, I really like listening to audiobooks or podcasts, things that are soothing. I tend not to, I won't listen to nonfiction books at night because I get my brain going too much. Yeah. But I like listening to that, but if I fall asleep to that, it will wake me up. It's a pause that's unexpected. It's a volume change that's unexpected. It's an ad that I didn't expect. So being able to transition into a steady, consistent, soothing sound as I fall asleep is lovely, because I can fall asleep to an audiobook, but I won't stay asleep to it. So that's really where the kind of genius of the transitions come in here.
Well, exactly, because I think that the silence could wake you up. If you think about it, right?
Oh,
say it just stopped.
It definitely does, yes.
Right? And so you will, so one thing is you will have to turn on your phone to turn on the earbuds. So definitely get that red screen thing before you turn off your phone, because just to engage. But I think what's important for people to understand is your phone does not need to be on for all of these transitions to happen.
Right.
Because there's this, all the tracks are embedded in hardware in those itty bitty little it's hilarious how small these things are and the amount of information that's in there.
Yeah. And if you, and you don't have to stream anything. That's the really nice thing, is that for people who are nervous about maybe having Bluetooth going or, you know, through, or EMF, first of all, it uses this BLE, which is Bluetooth low energy, which is much less impactful than a normal Bluetooth. But also, if you choose not to stream, which most nights I don't, I'm just listening to the built-in sound. Number one, the battery life is longer, so I can get a good 9.5 hours out of these babies if I get a really good night's sleep. But two, there's no connection to your phone whatsoever, and you don't have to touch your phone at all for them to connect. You just open the case, you wait for them to light up, and then boom, your noise is playing. So that's an even lower touch way. You know, your phone doesn't even have to be right next to you. It can be across the room.
Okay. I don't even think I knew that. I thought my phone had to be on. Like, so you just open the case and put them in and they automatically go without talking to your phone?
Yes. I open the case. You have to wait until both of the lights for the earbuds are solid. So they'll blink one at a time. And then when they're connected, they're solid. But I haven't touched my phone or the Oslo app in months.
Oh.
Yeah, look at that. It's nice.
Learn something every day. Yeah. Here I am. Okay. So that's the beauty, right? And so they have this biometric sensing, and now it's giving you a bit of a sleep report in the morning. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's in beta phase, which is really cool. Like, it's a very, I mean, look, we get our sleep report. I get my sleep report from my Aura. There are people who wear a Whoop, whatever it is, but it's, I'm looking forward, like, it hasn't been around for that long, but I, you know, I'm looking forward to the long-term information that I get.
Yeah, that can be a really gratifying way to take something that's typically intangible and make it tangible. It's nice to think, well, I feel more well-rested. But if you're looking at your stats and you're like, wow, my deep sleep is significantly higher this week than last week, that's so incredibly motivating.
Yeah. And what did I do? 100%.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about comfort, because a lot of people are like, well, I sleep on my side. There's no way. And I sleep on my side. And I'm telling you, there's a way. And there was a time before I had these that I was so desperate to block out the noise that I did wear my noise canceling headphones to bed because my darling husband does snore.
Yeah.
But I'm a side sleeper. And so let's talk about comfort, because I think these guys totally knocked it out of the park on design.
I'm a side sleeper too. And I would say the first couple nights I would wake up in the middle of the night and think, what's in my ear? And it's not that it was uncomfortable. It's that you're not used to falling asleep with something in your ear. That doesn't happen at all anymore. They're incredibly comfortable. They come with those, of course, different size ear tips. So you can, almost everyone I've talked to can find a size that works. But I have also fallen asleep with my gym headphones in out of desperation. And the problem is when you lay your head down, it triggers the button. So it'll change the song or it'll stop the music. And I'm like, this defeats the purpose altogether. So the fact that they sit very flat in your ear and, like you said, they're so tiny is, I think, what makes them a winner.
Yeah. And I'll tell you guys that I'm a very tough fit on ears. The only earbuds I can use I use the wired Apple ones. They're literally the only ones that fit into my ears.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no way these things are going to fit. And they did. So there's something about the design that makes them very adaptable. And I think you just shared, like, I was going to ask you, to someone who's not a tech person, what's your simplest setup recommendation that feels so effortless? And you just described it. Like, you literally don't even need to engage with the app.
No.
You just open the case and pull the earbuds out, and you'll have basically set it up that they start doing their thing as soon as you take them out. So that works like magic.
Spend a little bit of time in the app when you first get them, because they have a ton of in-bud sounds.
Yes.
There are rain sounds and ocean sounds, and you know, there's I think a dishwasher sound, which I think is so fascinating.
Sorry.
And I actually really like, no, but it's cool because it's rhythmic and it's very low pitch. But some people might like, I find rain incredibly disturbing. That's not the sound I want to listen to for some reason, or like they have a jungle sound. That's also not for me, but go ahead and load a couple sounds. You can play around with which one feels the best or works the best. But once you find a sound, stick with it, because then you start to develop, as you and I talked about, that Pavlovian response where it's like you hear that sound, and the only time you hear that sound is when you're getting ready for bed. Mm-hmm. And it just triggers this sensation in your body and brain and nervous system, like, okay, now it's time to wind down.
Yeah. And it's safety, because it's familiar. The brain believes what's familiar is safe. And safety is the number one thing that we really need when we're going to sleep.
Oh, yeah. That's such a good point.
Yeah. All right. So when you think about sleep supplements, what's your decision filter? Symptom matching, timing, cycling, less is more. What have you found with that?
I'm definitely a less is more person, because the world of supplementation in general is so both unregulated and confusing. It's full of promises that I think are really difficult to meet. You have to be careful with some of the supplements that you take. So a few general sort of go-tos are some form of magnesium that tends to work pretty well for most people. And most people tend to be magnesium deficient based on just their diets.
Yeah.
There are a few different forms of magnesium. So you can pick a form. Magnesium bisglycinate is the one that is most often recommended for sleep. But I've also sent people to a really inexpensive magnesium citrate. And as long as you're not taking too much, because it can have a laxative effect, that can be a really cost-effective and easy way to see if magnesium supplementation can be helpful.
Yeah.
You could also do a magnesium L-threonate, which is supposed to cross the brain barrier and maybe might help with cognition and focus. But magnesium is a pretty safe one. It's accessible and it's kind of hard to overdo if you're taking it in normal amounts. I've also had good success with some CBD plus hemp-derived THC gummies. So these are, to be super clear, these are like at a micro dose that the 2018 Farm Bill says are perfectly legal. It's less than like 0.03% THC by weight. So this is not a, anything that's going to impact your, it's not going to get you high. But the combination of CBD plus this ingredient, there's one brand in particular that I really like. And I have found after trying two or three brands, this brand makes a difference in my relaxation before bed. So that's something I'm sticking with. And of course, your mileage may vary. I very much caution people. I'm not convinced on long-term melatonin use as being safe. The science kind of, I've heard both sides and I'm not as educated enough, I think, to make a definitive, but I think occasionally it's probably fine in low doses, 1 to 2 grams. I think taking it regularly, especially in some of the really high doses that some of these supplements come in, I'm leery about that, especially for kids.
You know, what's interesting about melatonin is I've been using an herbatonin. So this is a melatonin that's derived from plants.
Yeah.
And it's dosed at, for sleep. I take 0.6 milligrams. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that I'm a slow metabolizer of caffeine and therefore melatonin. So if I take too much melatonin, you don't want to be around me in the morning. It's a bad, sad state of affairs. That form of melatonin is fascinating. You know who speaks about it? You probably know her, is Dr. Deanna Minnick.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and it acts completely differently than the synthetic melatonins. And that tiny amount is exponentially more powerful than the synthetic melatonin that most people are taking. And the reason for that is because that melatonin, because it's from plants, it's accompanied, and this is going to resonate for you, it's like getting a whole food form of melatonin. Yeah. So it's accompanied by other compounds that assist.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and I hear you on the melatonin. Like, I'm a big fan of melatonin because I think we make less of it as we age.
Mm-hmm. But, yes.
And everything that you just said about the glycinate and the theanine, like, and it, one thing I found with supplementation for sleep is it's going to depend on the, it's so individual because it depends where your gaps are.
Yes, exactly. You know, GABA and Tulsi or
there's Magnolia Bark is another one.
No, it's 5-HTP is often recommended too for sleep as a sleep supplement. But number one, I do not respond well to GABA at all. It actually energizes me. It does not relax me. My brain does not do well with it.
Okay.
Yep. So like that's where the your mileage may vary. 5-HTP, you have to be careful with that. That's a precursor for serotonin. So especially if you're taking over-the-counter medications or prescription SSRIs, that can lead to like a surge of serotonin, which is really problematic. So there are a lot of things that I think people kind of toss around for sleep, but you really do have to be careful with some of them and make sure that it's a good fit for you. And then also make sure that you're studying it in the context of your other medications and supplements and lifestyle.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, if you're not one who wears a wearable and the sleep tracking of the sleep buds is going to help you here because you will be able to see. And I would always give a supplement like about a week, unless you have a negative response to it, obviously. Yeah. But if you either have no response or you're not sure, give it a good week before to allow your body to kind of get with it, get into rhythm with it. All right. So let's talk about one high impact recommendation. If you could give only one practical recommendation that improves sleep for the most number of people, not going to be everybody, but for the highest number of people, what would it be?
I want to say two. I'm going to say alcohol because I honestly think that will, I would say alcohol, eliminating alcohol and before bed, certainly, but the less alcohol you drink, the better you're going to sleep, period. I think that's just pretty standard for everybody. But I really do think the most impactful thing that I've personally done, aside from some of the other things we talked about, is just getting rid of screens. I know it seems boring. You've heard it a million times, but I think the reason you hear it so often is because it has such a huge impact on your mental state, your nervous system, and your quality of sleep. So if there's just one thing, that would be the experiment I'd have you start with.
Love it. All right. Quick fire round, my friend.
Okay.
My new friend.
Yes.
Most underrated sleep metric, sleep time, wake time consistency, or how you feel at 2 p.m.?
I'm going to say wake time consistency.
Love it. Without an alarm, obviously.
Ideally. Yeah.
Yeah. Best wind down habit you've tried that costs $0.
Reading a book before bed. Fiction. a real book or a Kindle that has very, very low to no right. blue light emission, reading before. I do it every single night before bed.
Love it. Mm-hmm. One thing you will not do after 7 p.m.
Definitely drink alcohol. I'm not a big drinker, but unless there's something really special going on, I don't eat because it has such an immediate and negative impact on how I sleep.
Yeah, I love it. You're, mm-hmm. if I'm traveling, sleep non-negotiable.
Oh, 100% my sleep buds. I bring them with me everywhere. Sometimes I even bring a backup pair in case a pair dies. They're really, really that important to me. Blackout curtains, I mean, ideally, but I think the biggest non-negotiable for me when I'm traveling is just try to get to bed as early as possible.
Yeah. You know what? I'll give you guys a little hack, like a little bonus hack. I know I'm not the guest, but there's a product out there called the Nod Pod. Have you heard of this?
No.
So I'm giving them a shout because I love this so much. It's like a little weighted blanket for your eyes.
Oh, I love weighted blankets.
Mm-hmm. And so, it even adapts to size sleepers. I'm not going to talk about it much, but you guys go look it up. They've gone viral recently. They sent me one, I don't know, last year sometime. It took me forever to use them with the earbuds and that. It's, oh my God. It's
you magic. Won't get me out of bed. I love it.
All right. Biggest myth about sleep you want retired.
That you can catch up on sleep effectively. You can to some degree. Naps definitely help. If you have a rough night, getting to bed a little earlier. Mm-hmm. It's not that it does nothing, but it's not like you can be without sleep for 2 weeks in a row and then try to make it all up in a weekend. That's not how it works.
I love it. Melissa, this has been amazing. You're the best. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Let's tell people where... I mean, I've got a link and code here for the audience, but I'd love people to know where they can learn more about you and where they can learn more about Oslo and all the things.
Yeah, you can find everything for me at Melissa U. So my website and blog is there. My Instagram is there, and that's probably the most active social media platform. So melissau.com and Instagram at Melissa U.
So you the letter or you the
Y? You the letter. Yes. Okay. Melissa U.
As in university. Yes. Love it. Okay. Yeah. And guys, if you're feeling inspired to try out these beautiful sleep buds, you can go to oslosleep.com/Nat. And we have a special offer for you guys. You can use code Nat and get $75 off. Mm. Yeah.
That's a discount.
I might have to get like a backup pair. I love the backup pair idea.
I got them for my husband too, because he saw how much better I was sleeping with the dog. And he had a rough night and he was like, I need a pair of those earbuds. So I got him a pair and he's like, these are amazing. And I'm like, I know, I've been telling you this.
Thank you so much, Melissa. It's been so fun. Thank you. Great chatting.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider.